Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shachtman Blog Talk Radio Show on every weekday evening at 6:30 on the dot and 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday when I have time to squeeze it in. And this show, I want to tell you, I always give a little intro about myself, not because I am pushing the envelope about myself, but you should know where I'm coming from and where this show is coming from in terms of thought and intellect and presentation. This show is a politically incorrect show. We aim to get at the truth and the facts, and we aim to not be fooled and manipulated by media lies, media hype, media falsehoods, and political rhetoric. We're not interested in those concepts. They are a waste of your mind. They make us into autonomic robots rather than thinking intellectual beings, which is what we should be. This is an age in which people don't think too much. They are manipulated, unfortunately. And when people don't think too much or read too much, they bring down our entire society to zero, which seems to be what's happening these days. So the second thing is, and this is just as important, that I am a Christian, and I adhere to the historical Christian faith as stated in the Apostles' Nicene and Athanasian Creed, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture. And if I read anything, I'm going to read the great Christian. Hello? I'm on the phone right now, okay? Yes, the great Christian writers is John Bunyan, St. Thomas Aquinas, Augustine, Calvin, Luther, C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, whoever you might name. These are the thinkers, they are the people that make our society, have made our society what it is, and have moved our society in the direction that we wish it to go. We don't want a society of Nazism and communism, which resulted in the deaths of millions. We want a society based on the Christian model of the love of Christ. It's a better model than Nazism or communism. You can see our Mao Zedong, which killed about 10 million people also, or Pol Pot, which did the same. So that is a result of non-Christian societies, I'm afraid, my friends. So not only that, I am a writer. I've written 10 books, 3 Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the parables. The first book has had a wide circulation in many countries, and particularly has been bought by the entire University of California system, 4 Dutch universities, and 2 German universities, and a Swiss university in Zurich. So I'm quite happy with the sales of that book. The other book, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, also is a very widely publicized and popular book. A lot of people read it and like it. And the third book on the parables, that book has also done well. I have posted the 41 interpretations of the parables in that book on my website and social media for the interpretation, as much as I can offer of interpretation. I also am seeking interpretations of the sayings of Christ in the 4 Gospels. These sayings, I've sought interpretations of them, and I've been quite delighted and honored to speak and seek to interpret the words of Christ, whether in the parables or in his sayings in the Gospels. I also run 2 radio shows. These are Christian radio shows in orientation, but I welcome all people of all faiths and opinions and ideas. I've had 2 very wonderful Muslim guests on the podcast show, a novelist and a scientist from Istanbul, who agree with me about rejecting evolution as a theory. And I also have a very wonderful friend in Iran, a girl who is studying philosophy, and she's quite astute in her background in terms of philosophy, perhaps more than I I'm able, capable of handling. So these two, the Blog Talk Radio Show and the Podcast Radio Show, have Christian orientation, and many people from Muslim countries in China have visited these shows, including Saudi Arabia and the Blog Talk Radio Show, Bangladesh, United Kingdom, etc. I have also written over 500 blogs or essays. These also have a Christian orientation, but many people from many countries, in fact, visit these blogs, and I hope they benefit from them. They seem to be quite popular in every way, in the scholarly academic community, which they appeal to. And I'm delighted that they have offered some benefit and thought to people who seek them out. I have also sold two very extensive articles, one in the Criminal Procedure in the Syracuse Law Review and the other in Academicus on sex discrimination. And the one in Academicus, an Obadian Scientific Journal, has sold to the United States Supreme Court and to State Department and many European and American libraries, as well as the Syracuse Law Review article on criminal procedure has been bought by many European and American libraries, university libraries, as well as by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. I'm presently been nominated to lecture before a world audience every month on topics of law, which I'm proceeding to prepare. I'm quite enthusiastic about this, and I'm also establishing a evangelical platform where many believing and evangelical Christians will be welcome, and all faiths will be welcome who wish to follow Christ in some fashion. I am a proponent of evangelism. I value it. I believe in it. I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the exclusive means of salvation. Does that mean I don't talk to other people and try to understand them and discuss with them? I do. So, as I say, those are my current activities. And now I want to talk about, I wrote this book, Essays in Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy. And I wrote a chapter called Jesus the Revolutionary. I think it's an important idea here about Jesus being the revolutionary, because he's seen by many as the ultimate nice guy. He's seen by many as the model of extremely charitable and loving individual, caring for all with the poor and underclass. However, in this particular essay, based on, I have an MDiv degree from Princeton in theology, and therefore I have some knowledge in this respect, I'd like to consider the question whether Jesus can be seen as revolutionary. In a previous essay, I perceived Jesus as the ultimate litigator for the poor, the underclass, and the outcasts of society. I think Jesus did identify with the poor and the underclass, the outcasts of society. They were his followers, and he chose as his disciples tradesmen and his tax collector. He really pointed to a new world system without class, race, or even sex discrimination. And I said, presented the view in that essay that Jesus was the litigator for the world's poor and underclass. I think it's true. And I noted in that essay that Jesus himself was a carpenter, walked about with a group of working men, one a tax collector, and several fishermen, and was criticized for associating with undesirable people, or better put, if you will, sinners. So who is this man Jesus? What does he have to say to us? Is he the ultimate nice guy? Is he a nice person? Well, I guess he is in a way, but in a way not. He seems to be a person identified with the poor and underclass, the outcasts of society. Better put, the sinners. I said in that book that Jesus posited or pointed to a new world system, the class, race, or even sex divisions. And I presented the view that Jesus was the litigator for the world's poverty-stricken and underclass. I don't think there's any question that he identified with the underclass. He himself was a tradesman, a carpenter, walked about with a group of tradesmen, one a tax collector, and several fishermen. And in fact, he was criticized for associating with undesirable people, or better put, sinners. Meaning not only moral sinners, but ritual law sinners. I said in that essay that perhaps today Jesus might be seen as a labor organizer or a community organizer. And he certainly didn't identify or have an affinity or admiration for wealth or power. In fact, he says the poor and poor in spirit were blessed. He might be seen today as a labor organizer or a community organizer. Going about in the ghetto, identifying with people, poorer people. And he did say that the poor in spirit were blessed. And in fact, he approached Jerusalem riding a donkey and was tried and labeled as a criminal. And I said in that essay, Jesus is a litigator, that Jesus stands before all the world as the advocate and litigator for the poverty-stricken of society and its fringe members. So, that's what I said in that essay, which appeared in the book Essays in the Christian Worldview. And I defined Jesus as identifying with the poverty-stricken and underclass. And I gave reasons for it. He had no particular admiration for wealth or power, said the poor and poor spirit were blessed, approached Jerusalem riding a donkey, and was labeled and executed as a criminal. Now, I want to handle the topic now of how Jesus can be seen as revolutionary. I think he was a sort of revolution. He didn't advocate revolution against the government, but his ideas were revolutionary. For example, he is presented as inviting fishermen to be his disciples. Why should he choose fishermen? Why not choose people of power and influence? He might have more success for them to get what he wanted, but he didn't. He chose fishermen. He says the humble or poor in spirit are blessed, and the poor. He urges us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. These are very radical statements. They are not the statements of a very quiet, mild person. In Matthew 9, Jesus is seen as sitting at a table with tax collectors and sinners. And when the Pharisees see this, the religious hierarchy, they say, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered that, "I came not to call the righteous but sinners." He says again in Matthew 10 that he who finds his life will lose it. He says these disciples are criticized for doing something they're not supposed to do on the Sabbath. He says to a young man that if he wants to be perfect, he goes sell everything he has and give it to the poor. When the man hears this, he goes off in sorrow because he has many possessions. So he's making quite radical statements here. Finding your life, you lose it. And he says the disciples are breaking Sabbath laws. And he advises the young man, if he wants to be perfect, he should go and sell everything he has and give to the poor. And when the man hears this, he goes off because of his many possessions. Then he says in Matthew 19 that it would be hard for a rich man to enter the gates into heaven. He says it's hard for rich people. And then in Matthew 21, he overturns the tables of the money chambers and drives them out of the temple. These are very radical behavior patterns. They're not calculated to make you popular. Mark notes that when the Pharisees see Jesus eating with sinners, Jesus says that he's come to call not sinners but the righteous. And again in Mark 1, Jesus calls not the super smart or powerful, but fishermen. He calls fishermen and a tax collector. Not the top people, but the humble people. He says in Mark, the advice to the young man to give up his goods to the poor and follow him. And then he says in Mark 11 that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. These are radical statements. They are disturbing statements. And in Mark 10, when Jesus is asked who could be saved, and Peter says to him, the disciples have left everything and come to him. Jesus says, there is no one who has not left their father and home will not receive much more. In Mark, again, 10, Jesus is related to saying, you must be a servant or slave to others. These are radical statements. They are disturbing statements. They're not statements calculated to make anybody happy with their situation. Being told you have to be a slave, he drives in the money chambers out of the temple. And then, again, another disturbing statement, radical statement, revolutionary statement. He advises his listeners to offer the other cheek when one cheek is stricken, and when someone takes away their cloak, not to withhold even their shirt. And additionally, to give to everyone who begs. In Luke, Jesus is criticized as labeled as a glutton, drunkard, and friend of tax collectors. And then in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus tells us that our neighbor is a social outcast. So what's going on here with the statements of this man? And there's a story of the rich man Lazarus, where the rich man, having not shown charity to Lazarus, ends up in eternal damnation. Again, these are disturbing statements. They are not statements of a nice fellow. Apparently, Jesus was not as nice as you might think he should be or could be. In Luke, Jesus gives the advice to the rich young man to sell his goods to the poor and follow him. What are you going to conclude from these sayings? I think these sayings and events present a revolutionary position with respect to society. I don't think there's a question about it. Jesus clearly chose to challenge the establishment, or at least the religious establishment. He makes it a point that class or wealth has no value, and he's criticized for associating with the least desirable elements of society. Again, these are revolutionary actions, disturbing type. He seems to hang out with lower class people, prostitutes, criminals. He wanders about the countryside with a group of working class men with no visible source of income. He tells people to give up their possession to give to the poor. And he even says that the poor are superior to the wealthy in the eyes of God for some reason we do not know or cannot fathom. And then he says, comes not to bring peace but a sword and divide families. So what are we going to say to all these sayings? I suggest you look at this chapter in this book. It's chapter 24, Jesus the Revolutionary. And he's really saying that it's kind of like there had been a group of persons in the church who embraced what they called liberation theology, kind of a Marxism. But that was rejected by the Pope, correctly so. But Jesus does not want to bring civil revolution. That I don't think so. He's seeking to bring individual change and salvation. My conclusion in these sayings is that Jesus is advising us not to only tend to our affairs, but to change our thinking and therefore change society from its present structure of the rich and powerful have dominance. He suggests that the world system is skewed and incorrect, but the way to correct it is not civil revolution, it is individual change and salvation. He's not asking us to join in a revolution to disestablish the present inequities. I think he's asking us as individuals to form ourselves in the image he suggests to us and thereby improve the world on an individual basis. So this is what I say, ladies and gentlemen. I suggest you look at this chapter, look at the New Testament and the sayings of Christ, and you take a look at this man, and his ideas and concepts and recommendations are revolutionary. They are not calculated to make people happy. They are calculated to challenge them and disturb them, so because they are presenting the truth about who the kind of person we should be and the kind of person he was. So this is my conclusion of this little talk called Jesus the Revolutionary. I don't think it's true. that he tells people to love your enemies. He tells people to pray for persecuted. He says the poor in spirit are blessed. He says he turns down the tables in the money chambers, physically in the temple. He consorts with sinners, meaning moral sinners and ritual law sinners. He hangs out. He himself is executed as a criminal and chooses as his followers tradesmen. Not wealthy or powerful or educated people, but tradesmen. And a tax collector. And tax collectors were not liked in Palestine. They were agents of the Roman government, but he chose them to follow him as he chose the fishermen. So this is what I say. There are elements in Jesus' life and sayings which show him to present a revolutionary idea and concept about himself. He's not Mr. Nice Guy. He challenges us in these statements and actions to rethink and think again of the kind of person we should be, the kind of person he wants us to be. That's as much as I have to say about Jesus the Revolutionary. If you've enjoyed this little talk, I hope you'll look at chapter 24 of this book. He says in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and also take a look at Essays in the Christian Worldview, Jesus the Litigator. I hope you've enjoyed this talk. I hope it has raised your consciousness about who Jesus was, what he had to say, and what he wants us to know about himself, that he's not merely a soft-spoken, nice fellow. He is demanding much more from us in these sayings than we can ever fathom or imagine. His sayings and actions are revolutionary. They disturb us. They challenge us. They call us to rethink who we are and who we should be. Okay? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Die on the cross. That's Jesus, not Mr. Nice Guy. He's not that at all. I'm afraid so. And the only way you can understand this or grasp it is to read the New Testament and the Gospels and see what he had to say and how he lived. Then you will understand who Jesus is. He is saying, as I quoted in many of these sayings. Hope you've enjoyed this talk. Thank you very much.